Tonight's launch marks a number of firsts. Not only is it Optus's first satellite, but it's the first Hughes 601 body-stabilised satellite. In fact, a whole new generation of communication satellites. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Steve Dorfman, President of the Space and Communications Group at Hughes Aircraft, who is with us tonight. He flew in this morning from the United States. Steve, I'm glad you're with us to launch. I'm glad you're with us to share the excitement and the nerves. And I think you'll be as relieved as anyone in this room when things do go well in the next hour or so. But we're very, very pleased to have you with us. And we want to thank you and your team for all the cooperation that they've afforded us as they've worked together with our people over this whole project over the last few years. It's also the first commercial launch of the Long March 2E rocket. It's the first time the People's Republic of China has launched a satellite 100% owned by... We at Optus have confidence too, and the satellites will continue to be an integral part of our network, both nationally and internationally, in all the plans that Optus has. Our intentions as the approved telecommunications competitor, note I didn't say the second telecommunications company, we don't plan to be second for too long, so I prefer to name it the approved telecommunications competitor, will of course become clearer as our network unfolds. It's only just started. It's a 5-year action plan with specific points of importance on the way through, but the early days look very, 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 very promising. Services like pay TV and the future potential of mobile communications via satellites are capable of being realised through the satellite that we are launching tonight. I again extend a warm welcome to you all.
Graham's the manager of satellite operations. Graham, you might just quickly, before we have a look at the whole of the complex, just tell us how things are going for the launch. We have, what, we're 36 minutes and 40 seconds away from the launch. How's it looking from your end out there at Belrose?
It's looking really good. We've got the flight team in for this evening, about half the people in, and the countdown's going fine. The information from China with the telemetry information, which we've got... coming through live onto our computer screens. It's all looking fine. Anticipation's high. Everyone's excited. And we can't wait. We think it's going to be good.
If you have only half of them there, what are the other half doing?
They're home sleeping because satellite operations is 24-hour-a-day operation. They have to sleep and come in nice and refreshed and their brains all ready to cope with what might come up.
And I guess it's true to say that you really won't catch up with the satellite until some hours hence. How does that work, Graham?
Yes, we after the Long March launch, it takes a fair while before we get some data. We're hoping to get a little bit of data out of an antenna we have in Guam, but it's not necessary and not really expected. It takes a fair while before we get the antenna coverage that will give us telemetry back to Earth, and that won't happen until approximately 2 o'clock this morning, tomorrow morning, sorry. And we'll get the first information from via our tracking station in Canada. And we'll check out everything then. And it won't be until an hour or so after that before we start commanding to it.
A few minutes ago, Bob referred to your MCS, your Major City Earth Station at Belrose, as being the mission control. That's correct, is it, for the whole of the mission as distinct from just the launch, which, of course, is being controlled from China?
Yes, that's correct. Belrose is set up as the mission control centre. We have the tracking stations in Allen Park in Canada and our other station in Perth, Western Australia, sending the information into the mission control centre here. Everything is controlled from here. We have all the experts here, all the commanding, all the computer operations will be done from here, and the other stations are the tracking stations. We do have a backup to this as well. We have all the people at Hughes Aircraft Company in El Segundo with the factory experts online as well. They're also receiving the information, and should we call upon some backup expertise, we can call upon them.
Marvellous. Graham, before we go any further, perhaps you've been kind enough to take a little time out earlier this week and pre-record for us a look at the operation at Belrose, so everybody will know when the time comes and we do look at those live pictures which we have from a number of cameras, including race cam and lipstick cameras and sat cam and all sorts of things out there tonight. Well, Graham Brown, thank you very much for that. What a top job you've been able to do in putting that together. So well done and congratulations on that fine look around for us. Graham, just whilst you're there, and I can see you're still there at Belrose, you have a very interesting monitor screen there with you. What's that all about? How are you using that tonight?
Yes, this will be a simulator. It will be showing the positions of the satellite all throughout the mission, for information so people can understand exactly where the satellite's up to in the mission. It's usually showing very good graphics. Unfortunately, it's not up there. But later on in the night, we'll show you what the satellite's up to using this monitor.
So that's a piece of your armoury, obviously, so you can just know precisely where it is all the time. Good.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you for that. We look forward to crossing over to you again prior to the launch and look forward to your contributions as the evening goes by. Thanks for that, Graham. Dick Johnson, just a quick thought here about China. The basic question is, why China? Why and how did you make that decision back in 1988?
I guess, Paul, it all boiled down finally to money, but the process was interesting. As you might recall, the first two satellites we launched, we went on the shuttle, and the third, we went on the European Ariane launch vehicle. And at about the time that we were calling tenders for our B-series satellites, there were a number of launch failures using Western rockets. The Challenger tragedy came along a little bit before that. Subsequently, a number of US rockets ran into trouble, and then there was an Ariane launch failure. And that led to both the Chinese and the Russian governments deciding to see if they could pick up some launch business in the Western world. In the event, I guess, the politics made it too hard for the Russians to get there. But the Chinese showed a lot of determination. They were very anxious to get there. And we showed a fair bit of interest. We had Bill Hope and I went to China early in '88. We had a look at their facilities. We had a couple of weeks of useful looking at their capability. And Hughes were doing the same thing at the same time. The net conclusion we got to at OSSAT was that the technical capability was there. There was no question about that. And our friends at Hughes agreed with that view. That led us to look at money. And because they were trying to break into the market, the Chinese, in fact, offered us a very, very good price. In fact, we saved something over $100 million by launching two satellites with the Chinese rather than two Western rockets. So the net of it is that we were satisfied the technical capability was right, and we were more than satisfied that the price was what we wanted.
And obviously tonight is the culmination of that with their LM-2E rocket, a derivation of the LM series, which they've used very successfully to date, and you've been very happy with that, the pursuit as it's gone along to make tonight the final part of that.
The program has gone very, very well.
Good.
It's been a little different, I guess, from the way a Western launch service provider would have run his program, and that's a matter of different ways of doing things. But overall, they've got there well and truly on time, with a rocket which we believe will provide a first-class delivery service.
And you might just mention for us also the Hughes 601 satellite, which of course is very new for you, new for them, new for the Chinese as well. Could you give us a rundown on it?
Yes, Paul. Hughes have traditionally built satellites of the spinning drum design, such as we saw in Graham Brown's walk around the Bellrose Earth Station. That's a design which only Hughes have previously built. There are a number of other satellite builders in the world, and they've never followed that road. They've preferred to go for what is called a body-stabilised satellite. Eventually, it emerged that the requirements that we had, and I guess a number of other customers who are coming along, led Hughes to a decision that they needed to build a satellite with more power than they could build into a spinning-type satellite. As you can perhaps imagine very quickly, with a satellite with the solar panels on the outside, only about half the panels are illuminated at any one time. Whereas if you go to a body-stabilised satellite with the fixed-wing type design, you can ensure that you're getting full use of the solar power all the time. So this is the first of this design from Hughes. They started the program, I guess, 4.5 years ago. Before they bid to us, they went through a program of looking at what they could do. And it's very gratifying to us to find that following our lead in placing the first order with Hughes for two of these satellites, they now have an order book ranging to about 25 of this model. And that says it's likely to be the most successful model satellite ever built.
Silly question time again, Dick. This one does, however, rotate, doesn't it, up to 35 revs per minute on its way to getting to station. What's that about?
It's about providing stability. Let me answer that question backwards, Paul. Once we get into orbit, stability is provided by a gyroscopic mechanism using a momentum wheel inside the satellite body, which you can't see in the drawings. We can't use that mechanism for stability during the launch phase, and hence the satellite itself spins as it leaves the rocket, and it continues to spin right through until the stage of getting it into orbit and getting the momentum wheel going.
So those small motors stop the spin gradually as you get it closest to its box.
We can close down the spin at the appropriate time.
Right.